Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
And good morning and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday and I haven't got a clue what the date. What's the date? 47th. I'm not prepared this morning. Yeah. I've got no idea what the date is.
Definitely the 7th.
7th. Of course, because next Friday is Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Oh, so it is Friday, the 7th of February. I think I'm just shocked that it's February already.
I know. It's gone just, so quickly, hasn't
it? Here we go, February, March, April. It'll be Christmas again before we know it. Just to cheer everybody up.
I shouldn't have mentioned that word.
Summer. We want summer first.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm in the events industry. We start booking Christmas parties already. Scary stuff. But as you can hear, I'm joined in the studio today. My co-host is the wonderful Hax from Prisma Broadcast.
Good morning, everyone.
We didn't scare him away. He came back, which is great news. And our guest is Aaron Priest from the Priest Foundation.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Great to have you back. Aaron was with us. Was it a year ago? Or was it longer than a year ago you've been on?
About a year and a half ago.
Has it been that long? Yeah, time goes so fast. I said, guess how long ago was it? I was like, oh, years ago. So Aaron was on 18 months ago. Yeah. But we're going to have a catch up with him and his news and all. He's been busy bee himself and all that stuff. So we've got lots to talk about today.
I have to ask, how do you actually pronounce your name?
A-R-O-N, Aaron.
Okay, Aaron. Right, yeah, he is an Aaron, yeah. Not Aaron.
Or I know, it's Aaron or Aaron or whatever. It's just
I got received Aaron. A letter yesterday in the post and it was A-A-R-R-O-O.
Oh, no.
They just wanted to cover all bases. Yeah,
exactly.
Double up on all the letters just to be sure. We do want to hear from you, the listeners, as always, too. Please give us a tweet and let us know. It's a beautiful sunny day out there this morning. The sun is shining. Daffodils are coming out. It's almost spring. We're not even going to mention the bad weather that's on its way next week. No, it's good today, so that's all that matters. So do give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the hashtag BeExtraBeBunker. Let us know how your week's been, how you're doing so far this year. Is your plan going as called into, or did you even have a plan? Some people don't have a plan. Like me, I don't have a plan. Just go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Do give us a tweet. Last week on the show, I was joined in the studio. Unfortunately, our co-host, Richard, bailed out. He wasn't very well, so we'll let him off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll let him off. But our guests were Linda Garcia and Deb Sen.
It was a good show.
It was a very good show. We had really good conversation about networking, and also Linda's a systems and processes specialist. And oh my God, does she sort out your systems and processes for you? But so much of the stuff is just like that light bulb moment where you go, oh yeah, that will just make my life so much easier. You don't think about it. So there's lots of great conversations. So that was really good. But if you did miss that show, you don't worry. It is there. It's on the website. If you go to bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tab and all the previous shows are there so you can listen to it. And you can even download it as a podcast and take us jogging with you or bicycling or...
or in the car.
In the car or motorbike. Can you listen to a podcast on a motorbike?
Yeah, you can get headphones in, you know, into your helmet.
Yeah, but can you hear it because of the noise?
Yeah,
so can do. They do some really good headphones called Bones, and they go to the just before your ear, so they're not actually in your ear.
Yeah.
So you can still hear the traffic.
Yeah.
It's quite nice because sometimes, particularly my one, sometimes the road noise can be quite loud, or the exhaust can be quite loud. Mm-hmm. So having, you know, an earplug that's actually piping in some other music case. Good.
It's quite good, yeah. So if you didn't gather from that, Hax has got a bike.
Yes.
A new toy. New little toy that he's got. He was talking about it to me the other week and I was like, oh, that's really nice. I thought he was talking about a push bike. And he wasn't. He was talking
I've seen it this morning already.
Did you see it? Oh, I missed it. I'll have to have a look at that when we leave today. But do give us a tweet. Do listen to the previous show. It was great. If you want to contact us, you'd like to come on the show as a guest, if you've got events coming up, then please do email us at bunkextra@gmail.com. We have got lots going on today. We've got some few tweets. One from Chips and Dinks that says, have a great show and happy weekend from us, even if we have Storm Clara to contend with. See, you just did it, didn't you, Bev? We was all going on about how happy and sunny it is, and then you mentioned the Storm Clara. So there you go.
There you go.
And just, you know, because it has just broken, and I do like to be the first with news today. So if you haven't seen the news that has just come out, yes, Philip Schofield.
Has just come out.
Is gay.
I'm still in shock.
Breaking news here on Business Bunker Radio Show. Philip Schofield, unfortunately, unfortunately, or fortunately, as we shouldn't say unfortunately, so I didn't mean it like that. A bit of a shock probably for everybody involved, but he's 57 and he's gay. There you go. Moving on, let's have some breaking news that's important for the world rather than poor old Philip Schofield's life. We do have a tweet from Jobs in Kent. Good morning, Bunker Extra. Shout out, please. We are working on the next Jobs in Kent Careers Fair in association with Chatham DWP in the Pentagon Centre on the 26th of March, 2 days after my birthday. It is about time for me to start talking about when my birthday is so nobody forgets. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So details coming soon. So if you follow jobsinkent.com on the Twitter, you will find out more about that. There's events coming up. It's beginning to get a little bit busy out there in the event world. There's sort of noises coming on or different types of business events. And it's quite interesting. Over the last couple of months, I've been having meetings with people that are quite new to the business world. And they keep on saying to me, oh, you know, where's good to network? Where should we go? What should we be doing? And it's quite nice that people come to me now and ask me what's going on. And I go, I don't know. I've got a clue. No, but obviously a lot of them are asking me about networking, about where's good to go to networking and networking. I don't know if you ever networked here in Kent, Aaron.
I haven't.
Because I don't know what it's like in Essex, but here it's huge.
Normally when you network, it's either in the morning or after work, so it needs to be local to where you have worked.
So here in Kent, they have breakfast, they have brunch, they have lunch, they have mid-afternoon and they have evening. So you can take your choice. Nice. In fact, you could actually eat your way through a day networking, can't you? Because it's just so many. It's absolutely huge, the networking community in Kent. And we have all the BNI, ABC, BBN, 4N. I'm trying to think of all the of different letters that are out there.
Yes. Business over breakfast.
Business over breakfast. Bob.
Yep. Bob.
It's a good way of getting your confidence as well if you just started in the business world as well.
It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, quite a few people have said to me, oh, no, which ones do you go to? What's the best? And you have to say to them, you've got to go to them all because you've got to try to see which ones fit with what works for you. There's Network in Kent, which meets at the last Wednesday of every month at Bridgford Manor, run by Gary. That's really good for a mixture. For women in business, there's quite a few that women in business, women lunches, us women, you know, like to sit and lunch and gossip and chat and talk about business as well. The Kent and Victor Chamber do a lot of networking, the FSB do brunches and connects. And then there's a mixture. So there's those that you pay for and then there's a mixture of those that are free. So, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I started up the first couple of years, I wasn't prolific. There's some serial networkers out there that used to go literally everywhere.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to do that.
And everywhere,
everything. Means, oh, there you go. Look, there's Gemma again. Yeah. Gemma was a serial networker. She'll tell you.
That's how I met Gemma.
Exactly. Networking. She's out everywhere. But I used to choose them by obviously the type of people that were going to be there, but then the speakers and what's coming out of it. So it's not just about the going to network; it's also about going to learn and build. And the amount of information I learned when I was out networking on everything from marketing to accounts, everything like that, it actually helped me because that's the thing, isn't it? A lot of business owners, they go, right, I've been doing this for years, or I want to do this, I'm going to start a business, and then they go, oh, okay. How do you run a business? Because you know how to do your trade, as it were, but running a business is a completely different kettle of fish.
I think as well it's very difficult if you're a one-man band to be able to fit in actually working and networking as well. So that in the early days, I never had any chance to network. It was always the people that I'd met earlier on in the industry and then sort of pulling on those relationships to then get my sort of work.
Absolutely.
Paul's just reminded me about Slope Off Friday, which is the last, the first Friday of every month, and that's for the drunks. they go out at lunchtime on a Friday afternoon, and then they don't come back until Monday morning, literally. But yeah, as you say, and a lot of people still have the misconception with networking that, you know, you're going to go out there to network and get clients. It doesn't. That's not what networking's all about. It doesn't work that way.
So it's a long process.
But I think it's always disappointing when you actually meet someone who's a new networker because they are so hungry to get business.
Mm.
And you can almost, with respect, smell it. You know what I'm saying? Which kind of does it no favours whatsoever. And as you say, it's a slow burn.
It is.
It's getting to know the people and getting them to know you. You know, so that it actually works better in your own.
It's like anything in the world. It's building relationships.
Absolutely.
You know, with a friend and with business and fam, everything is about building relationships. Yeah. And the stronger the relationship, the better you can continue into the future.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the amount of people that still sort of, I've made some amazing friends, but the amount of people that refer me now for work, you don't need to network as much anymore or at all, because people are out there networking for you type of thing, which is, you know, is great. But obviously you have to start somewhere, but it's a very valuable tool when you're running a business and just making those connections
and keeping in touch with the people that you meet as well.
Absolutely.
You know? And you generate conversations with them regularly and refer work to them and so forth. It's all about feeding as well as you know, eating, as it were.
Exactly. And you get that so obviously the face-to-face networking, which is vital, but then once you've then built up a relationship, you then obviously got the online with your social networks. The amount of people, whenever I go out networking, the amount of people come over to me and speak to me as if they know me so well, and you're just like, who are you? You're so, you know, oh, you've been so busy and you've been doing this, and you're like, yeah, and, you know, they're talking to you as if they're your best friend and you haven't got a clue who you're talking to. I know, it's a little scary when you're a bit prolific on social media. People, obviously, you forget that people know you, and I guess you do get that feeling that you do know and resonate with somebody, and then when you meet them face to face, have we actually met in person before?
So Aaron, what would you say was your biggest tip for a new networker, someone who's just starting out in business, wants to sort of get it out there and whatever?
It depends on their industry and depends on where they've come from. So if they've done a long term in let's say they was starting out in the printing industry, they would have built up a rapport with a lot of customers and people that had seen over suppliers. I think if they go on their own like I did, you'd have to wait a bit of time before you can actually go out to build, like with BNI, go and do these things in the morning so you can actually get it done, then get to work, and it doesn't interfere with your day. So a new networker needs to go to these early morning ones because it doesn't need to interrupt with your production for your business.
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Which is good. You can find something that, whether you do it early morning before work or evenings after work, you know, some people can't do.
I never had that opportunity because I was starting at 4 a.m. there isn't a BNI that starts at 3 a.m.
No, fair enough. But yeah, as you say, it's you choose the time that fits into your working day, but doesn't interfere with the work that you need to do.
That's the main goal. Yeah. That you need to be in the business, and then hopefully this is an add-on.
Exactly.
I also think that you need to choose the network carefully, because the people in the network have got to be able to afford your product. If they can't afford your product, then it doesn't. The chances are they're not going to refer, because you psychologically you're kind of fencing yourself off, because they go, well, I can't afford it. That's what I've experienced in particular, and it wasn't until I changed that methodology and started to go to different networks that were more around, you know, slightly more more mature business, did I start to realise, you know, a better reaction from it.
I think as well as you go along your timeline, that you may start with a BNI, but then you might go into like a Chamber of Commerce, then you might, you know, it may grow, and then you get larger and larger organisations that can help you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing as well. I mean, obviously, a lot of, when you go into networking, you do tend to hear a lot about BNI, but BNI is like Marmite. People love it and people hate it. It doesn't suit everybody, but you can't dish it.
I went in there too late.
Did you?
And they were sort of saying, why are you here? The latter part of Solo Press was, I was going there and they said, I've got nearly 400 staff. We've got one staff, and it was the wrong time.
I was going
as a guest.
Exactly.
It gave me an insight into their organisation as well.
And I can see, and I know it does help. Certainly, I think BNI is very much a focus, I think, on trade, when people can refer business for trade and all that type of thing. But I don't think you should ever slate any other type of networking, because it works for some people.
Absolutely.
It's like with everything. Work for some people and some things don't work for other people. So they're all out there. But when you start, it's just worth trying each of them. Just to, you know, don't have to throw loads of money at
it. And a lot of these people you meet, some end up becoming your friends, and building those relationships are fantastic. And a lot of the people I've built up relationships over the years are still friends now.
Of course, the same with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's awesome. We have had a tweet from Fruit Bowl Media and Morning Bunker Extra. We are proud sponsors of the next NNE event at Eastwell Manor. Looking forward to seeing you there. So actually, this leads quite nicely, funnily enough, into an event that we've got coming up in March. So after spending a couple of years networking, Aaron, obviously being in the events industry, I decided that there are so many people out there that don't know how to be effective and efficient with their time when they're networking. As you say, it's important to fit it in, but without it interfering with the work that you have to physically do to run your business. So I invented the Networkers Networking Event. And the Networkers Networking Event is an event, it is a full-day event, but you go to learn how to network more effectively and efficiently. So you can network with other people. You learn about different subjects, so marketing, system process, all that type of thing. But then you're learning how that fits in with your business and how networking can be more effective and efficiently.
Wow, that's good.
So it's all about just, yeah, that training. It's like a training day, really, but you get a load of networking going on. So this year, I didn't do it last year. I did it for 2 years. Do one every quarter. So then, you know, then there's not lots of them. There's just there for people to come along to for a full day, hear a couple of speakers, learn about different aspects of running a business, but then how networking is important in that aspect as well. Do some networking activities, have amazing food, and then there is a lot of networking, obviously, that goes on with it. This year, the first one is on the 18th of March at Eastwell Manor in Ashford. We've got two, we've got one good speaker and one, you know, all right speaker.
I was waiting for that.
Were you waiting for that? I couldn't resist that. No, we have got two absolutely amazing speakers. Our first speaker is Tabitha Beasley, who's a marketing expert, the marketing assistant, and she's going to be talking about free marketing tools for your business and obviously in how networking is involved in that. We have the Mike Hacker, or aka Hacks. He's going to be talking about video, and the title is...
Well, I'm actually going to change
Don't
the title
change
slightly. I'm going to... No, it's
Do
all about
pitching.
You
start the marketing and then he changes it again.
It's all about pitching.
Pitching.
It's using video effectively in your marketing. That's the overall thing. But okay. I'm going to concentrate on pitching because talking about networking now, it's all, when you actually introduce yourself to someone, it's how you come across and become interested right from the get-go. How do you pique their interest? And of course, video works really well. So not only should you use your pitch in person to it's people more, when you go networking.
I think it's more relevant now than ever.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you just get to the point where if you've got a video pitch, then you don't have to have it. You don't have to be in person. You can send that pitch to anybody. I've got one client who commissioned us to shoot a pitch film for him because there was a point where it was getting lost in translation. He trains sales teams. So in usually what would happen is that he would actually get the marketing manager or the business development manager and have a meeting. And the business development manager would be absolutely spot on, would understand what he does. But as soon as the business development manager then sent it up to the FO or the CEO for approval and eventually, you know, signing on the dotted line, it got lost in translation because his technique was quite unusual.
Okay.
So we created a pitch video for him, which he then was able to give to the business development manager, who then said to the CEO or the FO, watch this. He delivered it in person to think, and within 6 weeks, he'd got a £60,000 contract.
Yeah, brilliant. And what a way, yeah, you said get yourself personally in front of.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Fantastic. Exactly. So that's what Hacks will be talking about, unless he changes his mind between now and then,
No. Well, I've just
changed
focusing. It. It's all about marketing. It's all about using video, leveraging video to market.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Rant on about.
You're going to learn a lot, definitely. And then what we have got, and I'm very, very excited about this. So we've always, with these, we put in obviously networking activities, because sometimes when you're networking, it's just how do you start those conversations and, you know, what questions do you ask and everything. So this year, we're bringing in team building companies to get those networking conversations going. So on the 18th of March, I'm working with a team building company called Escape On Site. And it is a lot. It's basically they turn up with duffel bags full of clues and puzzles, which you have to solve within a certain amount of time before toxic gas is released into the room.
That's
it's so exciting.
Yeah.
It's like escape room in a bag.
I do like those escape rooms.
Yeah.
They're very good.
Brilliant. So obviously everyone will work in teams, and the team that solves it fastest wins the prize and everything. But it's great. Obviously, it's a great way of interacting. Everyone will be teamed up with people they don't know, because obviously one thing when you're networking, often what happens is you just sort of gravitate to the people that you know and don't get to meet new people. So we're going to do all
that's
that.
That's a good idea.
Which is going to be fantastic. Yeah. And we also then throw in a couple of round tables so people can have a few discussions about anything particular in business they want to discuss, and lots of amazing food and networking. So that's, yeah. We just, it's about creating a nice relaxed environment, but just to facilitate, but then just teaching people, you know, you don't go networking, give out your business cards and expect to get loads of business return on it. Doesn't work with that. It's about building those relationships, as we've said. So
absolutely. 18th of March,
Eastwell Manor, 10 till 3. So
I like
excited.
Eastwell Manor.
I like Eastwell Manor. It's one of my favourite venues in the area. It's like a nice stately home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's actually a Champagne's property now. So they have got the spa on site. So if anybody wants to go for a spa treatment afterwards, we can all pop along.
Or during.
Or during, yeah. No, not during. Pop along during. Yes, but if you go to Evexio, evexio.co.uk, click on what's on, and then you can find the link there to find out more and book your tickets. Early birds are available at the moment. It's just £30 for the full day. Or if you can't make the full day, it's not a problem. If you just want to, you know, pop in, you can pop in for the morning or the afternoon, and it's just £15 just to pop in. But we've got a couple of other packages there as well. It's worth it. It's great fun. They were great fun before, so we brought them back just to...
Sounds really worthwhile.
Yeah, it's just something, it does something different as well from your standard everyday networking. So check it out. I've been a busy bee actually recently. I didn't realise how busy I've been until I had a meeting yesterday and I was going through everything I've done, and they're like, blimey, you've been busy. And even this week, and it feels like weeks ago, on Monday, I helped some clients host a lunch and launch, which is, this. If people don't know, this week is National Apprenticeship Week. And obviously apprenticeships now are getting bigger and more noticed, and people are beginning to realise actually it's an alternative. Exactly. We were having a good old conversation off air about apprenticeships, and there is the FSB across the UK, but certainly here in Kent, are really great advocates and really pushing to help apprenticeships become, you know, mainstream. And they are actually, Alison Palmer from the FSB Kent has teamed up with a working group of training providers for apprenticeships, and last year they ran and hosted the Kent and Medway apprenticeship graduation ceremony, which I helped them with, which we ran at Rochester Cathedral in October, and it was awesome. We had just under 100 apprentices of all, and what I like about that was the all different ages. So you had your sort of your younger students up to more mature students, which is amazing. We had 150 VIP business guests, and I think we had about 600 flat family and friends and everything. So it's about 700 people in the cathedral. Absolutely fantastic, and just a real good highlight. And we, you know, they wanted to create it to sort of like give a reward to the apprentices. You know, you've done your apprenticeship, you've worked hard, you've got your qualification, here you go, which is really good. So on Monday, we, because it's the beginning of apprenticeship week, we launched the date for this year's apprenticeship graduation, which is going to be 2nd of October. But it was just, yeah, you're just nice, and you've got a lot of training providers. So colleges do training providers, but then you've got some independent businesses that do provide training depending on the qualification and the trade. And we talked about it before, didn't we, Aaron, when you was on, but you did an apprenticeship, which is what got you into the printing
industry. Yeah, absolutely. I did a City and Guilds in 1988 for 5 years for printing. And I haven't looked back, really. It was the cornerstone of my life, really. Yeah. I wasn't very academic in school. There was no mandatory thing that we had to go into a college. You either did go to college or you did an apprenticeship. I think as a country that we've neglected apprenticeship schemes for about a decade.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased and backing myself that we're actually infusing ourselves to bring this back live and helping young people get into industry. And it gives them other options other than the academic way.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? And it's just, I think, over the last sort of few years, it's only just becoming the fact that it is an option. You know, so students are being told you can go to university or you can do an apprenticeship.
I think we've lost sight, though, I think schools are brainwashing children that we don't give them that option.
Yeah.
It's there, but it's like
we've
sort of skip over it. Yeah. Oh, there's an apprenticeship scheme, but you need to go in sixth form, you need to do this. And it's said about, but it's not. You know,
but it's beginning to change.
Oh, absolutely.
It is beginning to change, which is the important thing, I think, because, you know, people like the support group of FSB and, you know, all the businesses that are beginning to support apprentices, I think now that it's becoming an accepted route. I mean, you can get an equal qualification now, can't you? You can do an apprenticeship and get an equal qualification to a degree.
Yeah, my daughter's doing an apprenticeship now. Yeah. And so, It's fantastic. It's just good to see more young people engaging into the apprenticeships, like
Absolutely.
You're saying.
And it's no brainer. I mean, like, hello, you get on hand, in place work experience and life experience. You get qualification. And you get paid to do it.
I know.
So you don't have a huge student loan to pay afterwards.
I'm a bit too biased on the apprenticeship schemes because it's something that I did and I'm passionate about. I'm more passionate about the apprenticeships rather than going the academic route. So,
I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, there are certain roles out there.
We spoke about.
Because, you know, you can't be an apprentice doctor, really.
Brain surgeon.
A brain surgeon.
there's many jobs out there that you can't.
You know, one thing that I think is that's really important about apprenticeships is that not everybody's an academic or leans towards academia, you know. Yes, there are a lot of degrees out there that are a lot more hands-on and physical and stuff like that now, but what's important is that it allows a whole new sector who, you know, want to get their hands on and you know, start doing stuff more on a practical level.
And I think if companies are honest with themselves that we need these younger people coming through, that they can train and mould into their own
Absolutely.
Companies.
Mm.
So an apprenticeship scheme into their companies is absolutely ideal because they can hit the ground running once that person's even been there 6 months, a year, rather than getting someone maybe from an academic route that said, well, I've got this diploma, I've got this, I need to be paid this.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And from an employer's point of view, that's sometimes a task, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very big, huge advocate of the apprenticeships.
Yeah, I've been doing a few talks into schools
Yeah, so you've been getting out there and sharing the word about it as well, which is good.
Yeah, and it's just if we can sort of infuse one child in a classroom, and there's a hell of a lot of entrepreneurs still out there that are young that want to do different things, and it just needs that kickstart and that bit of passion, a bit of enthusiasm, and they can then go off and hopefully get into some sort of apprenticeship into an industry they want to go to. So that's what I've been really sort of chuffed about doing
that. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's brilliant. Well, we're going to have a quick break because we've just touched on a little bit of Aaron's... Where did I get Aaron from? Aaron. Aaron. I had a post come through from 6-2 and obviously
exactly.
That's Aaron.
I was just about to say.
God, don't have you, Aaron, exactly. Aaron in the same room together.
Come on.
We're going to have some music and then when we come back, we're going to speak more with Aaron.
He's got a really good story to tell about.
He has. And I chose this song for you because you've just launched your new charity.
Yes.
The Priest Foundation, which we're going to be talking about. So I thought this would be really good. Do you know what it is? I'm so excited.
Tonight we're gonna make solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. We just didn't actually stop talking. We nearly missed coming back then. We were just carrying on talking off air, on air. We always get carried away. You are listening, just in case people have only just tuned in, about do the official stuff, haven't I? You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 7th of February. So those people that don't know, it's only 1 week till Valentine's Day.
We're not saying anything, Hex.
They're both like, oh. For those people that like to celebrate it. And I'm joined in the studio.
Hang on a minute. What's Valentine's Day?
yeah. I am joined in the studio by my co-host Hax from Prisma Broadcast.
Hello.
And our guest is Aaron Priest from the Priest Foundation.
Hiya.
Hello. So we have been having a great conversation about networking and about business and about apprenticeship. And in fact, you're going to have to repeat this story now on air, because obviously Aaron was saying he goes into schools and has been helping to advocate apprenticeships and everything. Yeah. And you was in one school and you was talking to one of the students.
I was speaking to a young lad. Doing a one-on-one with some of the students and listening to their stories, and basically just listening to what their passion is, rather than just saying there's a leaflet here, there's a website there. What is it you like doing? And this young lad loved reptiles, and he came alive and he said, I already sell geckos. I've sold five already at £20 a go. And I was like, here we go. This is perfect. The guy has got an entrepreneurial spirit. He wanted to open up a reptile shop in the local Blockbuster. I was like, okay, all right, we need to work on this. We've got to put the reins on this guy a little bit. But that's so rewarding to just see a young man have a dream and some enthusiasm in what his passion is.
Not to say too much about it, but you're saying obviously it is some of the students were difficult students, which may have been a little bit dismissed by the school as troublemakers.
School is fantastic for looking after those children, but I just don't think they'd open up to the normal society.
No, and obviously they're restricted, unfortunately, aren't they?
Absolutely.
By what their structure as a school is. So having somebody, real life person, that's been there, done that, to go in and speak to them.
Yeah, I've ended up doing a talk to the year as well, which was really good, and they was all listened, they was all quiet. And they were with their parents as well. So again, that was really well received. So yes, I'm looking forward to doing some more of those
That'd be really good. It's just nice for people to know, for the parents as well as the kids, isn't it? What options are out there?
Absolutely.
No, not everybody is academic. Some people are just...
These apprenticeship fairs are fantastic. So look out for your local area. The apprenticeship fairs are out there. They're coming more and more. You can take your child with you. The parents can go. You can just literally dip your toe in, dip your toe out of different industries. You can find out websites that you can help. If your son's a bit shy and you wanted to get into the construction, here's a website to look at, and they can actually fill out like a little survey, and it finds out what parts of this construction they like. So I was quite pleased that there's so much information now, and people are engaging with it as well.
It's not, you don't always have to be an entrepreneur or anything like that in order to actually do it. It's just about what interests you.
Yeah, for sure. When I started as an apprenticeship, I always wanted to start my own business. But when you first start an apprenticeship, it was just hard enough. I was 16. Mm. It was like, oh my God, I've got a good job. I've got to go to work. And I used to have to walk like miles to get the bus. You're not driving. So yeah, it's challenging when you're 16. You get a lot of other pulls of different things in life.
Absolutely.
Pub.
Yeah.
Girls.
Yes, girls. Girls, definitely.
Blame it on us women earlier.
It's you lot.
Start it off. But obviously, I loved it when you came on the show before. So we have to briefly touch on that for people who didn't hear the show. I mean, you've got such a fantastic story of you started as an apprenticeship.
Yep.
And you were getting, was it £50?
£50 a week. Yeah.
£50 a week.
Yeah, working a company. I will mention the company name because I am a debt of gratitude. It's called Delprint. They're no longer around, but they were fantastic. They gave me a proper apprenticeship scheme with City and Guilds. They sent me away to Barking College for block release. I did the 5 years. I stayed there a further year, and then I left to join a different company, earn more money. That was the only reason I needed to earn more than £50 a week. 6 years.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, I couldn't afford anything. And then in the end, that burning desire was still there to want and start my own business, and which I thankfully did in the year 2000. And in year 2017, me and my business partner sold Solo Press.
So you founded a Solo Press in
2000.
And then you sold it in
2017, and we had just shy of 400 staff. And yeah, it's over about 85,000 square feet. And I have now literally handed my notice in about a week ago, and I'm leaving and departing Solo Press on the 28th of February.
How does that feel?
Strange, but
your baby.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess you sort of
handing over the baby. Yeah, 100%.
Well, my business partner left about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So and then we've a year ago we've got a new managing director, and his name's Simon Cooper, who is taking over Solo Press and doing a very good job with it. A new staff are coming on board, who I don't know, and some of the old guys that are still there. I just want to say, while I've got the opportunity, to thank everyone that's worked for me for 20 years. You've been amazing, and all the suppliers that helped us grow as well. I just want to say thank you very much.
Oh, so. I almost feel emotional. No,
it is.
It's my life. It was interesting yesterday. I got all my boxes from my office delivered back to my home. And my wife said to me, "How do you feel?" I said, "Strange, but it's okay."
Yeah. You know,
I feel okay.
So did security walk you off the premises?
No, not yet.
It's quite funny.
Did they check your pockets?
Yeah. Last week on the show, when we had Lyndon and Deb here, they were talking about they're running an event, and it's about because basically when you're running a business, starting a business, what is your exit strategy? You know, what point do you want to be able to walk away from your business, step away from business, that type of thing? And you know, when you started the business,
we never had an exit strategy.
I remember
strategy.
You said before, yeah, you didn't have an exit strategy. It wasn't something that you're right. Okay, we're going to get to this level, and
it's
then we're going to
because of networking. We got contacted. Because we put ourselves out there, we spoke to lots of people, and then people approached us. It wasn't that we went out there to be approached. People approached us, and it got us on the mindset of, actually, we've got something that's actually tangible to sell. And that's what then put us in the right mindset. We geared the company up, ready to sell. We did it in the correct way with corporate finance houses. And we met a fantastic group called Online Printers, and we're part of a Bregal group, which I now sit on the board, and I'm very much part of that group, and it's growing. It's really growing. They've now got other acquisitions they've done. They're in Poland, Denmark, Germany, Neustadt, Southend-on-Sea, Solo Press.
Neustadt, Southend-on-Sea. Not quite the same.
I can't talk about certain other acquisitions they're still doing now, but they're looking in other countries as well. So they're very much growing, and I'm really chuffed for them, and I look forward to seeing what they do in the future.
That's fantastic.
I have to ask, because obviously, as you know, I'm into video, but print, what's the future of print as far as business is concerned?
Interesting enough, what you're doing, Hacks, as well, is we were an online business, and we came from a traditional printing company onto online very early on. We're one of the first in the UK that went on to e-commerce, and basically, you've got to be big on social media. You've got to be on Google. And as the time went on, your adverts are so important. They're powerful to promote your products. So what you're doing and who you can help as well be key for people for the future of their businesses.
But print is also still, because we advocate the fact that print is still a very good thing, because it's all about gelling all together.
To be fair, there's lots of people out there that would talk, and I'm sure they're listening now going, "No, print was dead," or they've come out of the print industry. It's not.
No.
It's very much not. It's quite exciting. You can print on anything. Look around where you are in your car, the bus, wherever you are listening to this station. look around you. You can print on anything. Mm. And
well, we just delivered a card to a whole lot of them to a business. So when they open it up, there's a tiny little video screen.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
so it's
definitely.
It's a tangible product that comes through the post.
Yeah.
They actually get it and
yeah. I've seen that a lot of presentations are done like that.
I mean, the quality of the video is not brilliant, but it's early days. It's a tangible product.
Car launches, all sorts of launches of companies and new products are always used that way as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing as well. It's about the combination now, isn't it, of the technology with the print. And obviously, some people may go, oh, you know, about the world and start bantering around the sustainability part of it. But the industry is, you know, the print industry has taken that on board.
I think it's just an exciting time.
Yeah, there's I think these days within the events industry, if you want to try and get, you know, invite people, you send it via the post, because how many people ignore the emails that come through? You're more likely, if somebody gets an invite to an event through the post, yes, okay.
You've seen it.
Cost-wise, it's a little bit more, but it's something a little bit more tangible rather than an email that's likely to be lost.
I get quite a lot of emails and I just press delete, because I just want them away from my inbox.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's why you miss my emails. I got you.
I'm guilty of missing emails as well, because there's so much
that
comes
in. To me?
It is difficult. It's difficult. but obviously now you've that's it. You've stepped away.
Absolutely.
But of course you're not gonna, you know,
a new chapter.
Sit around on your backside and enjoy. And we can definitely say this, the success of your business, because you've now got a new venture that you're building and growing.
Absolutely.
Which is the Priest Foundation.
Yeah, I've started a charity that helps. Basically, the aim is basically to help all ages suffering with mental health issues around my district, that'd be the Rochford District area and Southend-on-Sea, so the places I've lived and worked.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for the charity is back in 2014, I had a bike accident and got diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. Never knew anything about anything like this in my life. I suffered with it for quite some time, and you still have to work at it on a day-to-day basis now. I know that I was lucky enough that my company that I owned had a private health scheme, and there's so many people out there that I don't know, maybe is not as fortunate that I was to have a private health scheme. So we wanted to build a trust that supports people, that helps them get themselves and their families back on the right road, whether it be by having counselling, helping them connect with back to work. There's so many different things, but my charity is administered by the Community Trust, which also allows me just to fundraise, so which is fantastic.
Right,
but
yeah.
The good thing about my new charity is that 99p out of every pound that we raise goes to the cause. And there's a hell of a lot of charities out there. We worked out that it's about 23p goes to administrations rather than getting the whole money to the cause.
That's really good, because there's a lot of charities out there, but not all of the money that's donated goes to the charity then, to the people, is it? There's
so I'm doing plenty of charity stuff.
So you started it from an experience of you had yourself from having the post-traumatic
Absolutely, stress. Yeah. I had an accident in a cycle event called the Tour of Denji, and that Pacific race, I was a novice in racing.
Mm.
It was winding. It was windy, raining. It's like a 30-mile-an-hour headwind pouring down the rain. But I trained, and we trained as a group, and everything on paper said, just go back in the car and go home.
Yeah.
But we did it, and it was howling down winds. One of my friends went into a bush. We carried on. We kept going. And we went up this hill really quickly. And my friend, the leader of the peloton, looked back. And as he looked back, the wind blew his bike slightly into my wheel. I flipped up in the air, landed on my head, out cold. That was it from then. It was just like straight to the hospital. Well, wasn't straight to the hospital, because I was in... It took an hour for the ambulance to get there. I had to cut all my clothes off. Couldn't put any morphine in me because I was so cold and shivering. And the events started happening from there. And it just, that vulnerability of knowing that you can die, basically, that's triggered some sort of emotion in me, which then I was lucky enough to go and see a counsellor, said that what you have is basically post-traumatic stress syndrome. So it's... that was hence me wanting to start this charity. So there's people out there suffering in silence, and I thought, yeah, I need to do something.
And so that was the thing, obviously, because you've experienced it, and then obviously associated the fact that there are so many people out there that suffer, and they, a lot of time, because they don't know what help they can get, do they? Or they think
there
they can't afford it.
There's not a lot of help. There's lovely counsellors out there, but accessing them is very difficult, very, very difficult, and you have to know where to go. And if you go to your local GP and stuff like that, it's still not a taboo to talk about it, but it's still not mainstream. And it, this mental health is, it needs to be spoke about more, and you need to be able to talk about your feelings, because the, some of the, when the people I spoke to, some friends that I didn't realize that, that have become so close to me now, they were my rock, you know, and they're you need people that you can lean on.
And mental health, the actual term mental health, is quite often misconstrued. People think that it's an illness and it's a bad thing. But mental health is also about having the right state of mind, the right, the positive mind to approach or to overcome certain things.
When,
so
you, when you,
you don't have to be, or you're not necessarily ill.
No, when you label it, it's a chemical imbalance. I landed on my head. You know, I thought that I was invincible. And the downside to when I was working, I'm sure I've had staff come up to me in the past over the 20 years, and I was so driven and so determined to make Solo Press with my partner a success that maybe staff would come over and say, I'm not feeling so great. And he'd be like, come on, buck your ideas up.
Don't care,
get on with it. And I feel quite guilty now to realise that I always stress. And for it to happen to me, it was quite poignant to think, actually, it is something, you know, and that's why it's resonated with me
of course
a lot, you know. Yeah.
Do you find, and this is a little bit trying to think of the best way to word this, because obviously it's very much over the last few years becoming more, the awareness is growing, which is great.
Yeah, it's
as
good.
You say, it's still a little bit taboo. But do you find there are those that use it as an excuse? I'm trying to think. It's not saying there's people to use it as an excuse, but do you find that there are people that would use it as an excuse, which
or
is
hide behind it?
But just for the fact of I've got anxiety, so I can't do it.
It's very difficult to determine.
And you wouldn't want to say that they haven't got it, but there must be people out there.
If you have got it and you blatantly say that I've got anxiety, it is a real issue and it is a problem and it does need to be addressed. And if they're openly talking about it, it means they want help.
Yeah.
So which is the first stage of, you know, me saying I wanted to see a counsellor was a big thing. I never would have saw anybody in my life. I'd have been like, I can deal with this.
Yeah.
I haven't got a problem. But opening up and seeing that counsellor, I remember my first few sessions just crying my eyes out and like, what the hell is happening to me? Mm. You know, so it is a real thing, and people, by them talking about it, people listen and help them, and that's the support that they can get from other people around them.
You've got to make this first step, haven't you?
Because every person we help, one person affects another 10 in your family or friends.
Yeah.
So every person we help helps 10.
That's brilliant. So, I think it's fantastic what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I'm really...
And so it's very, very new. It's all the websites just come out.
I know.
And logos.
The logo I'm really proud of, and it was designed by a good friend of mine called Anthony Haylock. And the actual website needs a lot more content, which is why I'm now on the radio and doing lots and lots of charity work. I'm cycling.
Yes, you're doing another cycle, so you're back on the bike.
Doing a tour of Flanders. I'm doing the Tour de France as well, which
are you?
Is just with my beefeater friends. So we are the TDF beefeaters as well.
I'm
one of them.
Why beefeaters?
Because
you eat beef?
I don't actually eat red meat. So, but what the reason why we're the TDF beefeaters? So we've been doing the Tour de France for about 6 years, and every corner of Alpe d'Huez at the time was being supported by different nationalities. Mm. And as the UK, we wasn't being represented. So we thought, what could really stand out? What could represent the UK? Beefeaters. Mm-hmm. So the real beefeaters, the Yeoman Waldens, contacted us, loved it, because we're not out there, like, you know, being sort of, you know, what do you call them? Hooligans. Mm. We're not being hooligans. We're having a good time. We're getting a party atmosphere, and we're embracing every nationality. Oh, wow. And you'll see, and last year was a real pinnacle. We had a tweet of a video that we did that went on BBC Morning News, and we had 1.9 views.
1.9 million.
So yeah. 1.9 million views of this video.
Wow.
And it was unbelievable. So awesome. After that, it's gone really, really big. But the Yeoman Wardens, particular mention to Spike Abbott, he supports us, and we go and watch the Ceremony of the Keys most years.
Fantastic.
Which is, if you have never done that, sign up and go and see the Ceremony of the Keys at the Tour of London, because it's fantastic.
I have to do that. Now, unfortunately, we are quickly running out of time, but I do want you to quickly mention, obviously, you've got an event coming up in October that you're putting together. So
yes.
Do you want to quickly mention
that? Yeah, we're putting together on Halloween, on Saturday the 31st. It falls on a Saturday this year, Halloween, so people with young children.
Thank God, not a school night.
It's not a school night. Yeah. So we're just putting an event together. So in where I live in Rochford area, and we're hopefully going to raise as much money as we can for this charity. So we're going to do everything we can to raise as much money to help people. So,
well, as soon as you've got the full details of that, obviously we'll get them, and so therefore we can share
them
with people.
And anyone
that
feels like they could just donate a pound, the website is priestfoundation.org. And if you want to help someone who you've suffered with mental health issues, or you know someone that is suffering, we're trying to help people, so please donate. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Oh, it's so fantastic to have you on. And it's
just
brilliant that you're now finding a new passion, a new thing to drive you. And the charity is amazing. As you say, and obviously with charities, it's hard because you want to help everybody across the UK, but you have to start somewhere.
Thanks, Amanda, for mentioning that. Because basically we're starting with our area, and the people that are collaborating with me want to take this nationally. So we have to start somewhere, because if you open the funnel, we just can't fundraise that much to support the whole of the UK. But there's no reason why we can't have bigger dreams to take this nationally and help everyone out there.
Absolutely. And what's the website again?
It's priestfoundation.org.
priestfoundation.org, and it will be on the website as well. Thank you so much. It's been so great having you back on. We will have you back again less than 18 months' time.
Thank you
less
so
than
much.
Let's have you back towards the end of the year, so we can catch
I
up
really
and see how
that.
Things
Thank
are
you.
Going. Because it's always nice, being that this is a business community show, people, you know, our listeners are people that run their own businesses, and it's just nice hearing people's stories and to get inspired, to get informed, and just to know that obviously, you know, all the hard work and everything can lead to somewhere, as long as you keep doing what you want to do and being passionate about it.
Absolutely. And just passion is the big drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't ever lose your passion for what you want to do.
If you do, then move on to something else. There you go. Easy option. We've had a great show today. Thank you, Hax, for co-hosting.
My pleasure. It's
been great having you here. Don't forget to check out the Networkers Networking event coming up in March. I'm really looking forward to the first one back, because we're going to have so much going on. It's going to be
amazing.
So much fun.
Sounds really good.
And the guys that do the escape room, apparently they turn up in like hazmat suits and everything. So really authentic. And I'm going to be like, stand outside the room. I'll leave you guys do it. I will be back next week on the show. I'm joined in the studio by co-host Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guest is Peter Searle. So tune into that. Paul has got some more great guests on Tuesday, the Business Bunker, as always. Have an amazing weekend, everybody. Stay safe, warm and dry. There's a bit of a storm coming in. And we'll be back next week. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.